Come on, LifePoint Church. You guys doing okay? You guys are so good. Come on, grab a seat. It's time to party. I came to party. Anybody else? Hey, I was asked if you have an extra seat next to you, could you kind of scoot in? We need to make some room for some more people. So scrunch in. And this is perfect because at our church, at Awaken, that's all we do is scrunch. So, like, I feel right at home now that you guys are all sardined in. Glad you guys are here. I'm a big LifePoint Church fan. I want you to know, if I wasn't already going to a church in Clarksville, I would come to LifePoint. So, like, I just want to get that out of the way. Big fan. Love what you guys are doing here. I love that you guys have a cafe right outside those doors. That's amazing. Thanks to all the baristas. I'm double shot espresso happy to be here today. That's how happy I am. I like that LifePoint, everything's bigger here. I have so much more room here. If you've ever visited our church, which I met some of you who have, which doesn't have to be awkward. It's been, I think, awkward for some people. I've seen some people who used to go to Awaken and now are LifePoint, and they saw me out there and they were like, "Hey, what are you doing here?" And I was like, "What are you doing here?" But I love it. And listen, I want you to know, like, our heart. I'm talking about me as a pastor of Awaken, and I know I can say this on behalf of your pastor, Pastor Mike. We love Jesus, and we are all headed in the same direction. And so if you go to LifePoint, you go to Awaken, you go somewhere in Clarksville that they're teaching the Bible, listen real closely, we're all on the same team. We're all on the same team. We're doing the same thing different ways, reach different people, different parts of the city. We're all gonna hang out in heaven, right? That's the goal. So, man, I love what's happening here. This is actually a really special day, even at our church. So it's, first of all, a super honor for me to be here. My wife is with me all day here in the front row, and it's such an honor for us to be here on behalf of your pastor. But also, even at our church, Pastor Mike and I got together about a week ago and pre-recorded a video of he and I teaching that's playing at our church today. And a portion of our service at Awaken is dedicated to praying for other churches in our city, including you and all across Clarksville. And so we just want you to know ultimately what we're all about. We meet in different locations and different places of the city, and we reach different people, but we're about serving Jesus, and that's our heart. And so I hope you can hear that from me. Not only am I a big fan of LifePoint in general, but I'm a big fan of the whole Burnett family. If you don't know Pastor Mike and his wife and kids real well, man, they are a joy to be friends with, to serve under, to follow Pastor Mike's leadership here at LifePoint. Our families love to hang out. We have three kids. They have many of them. We can't keep track. And we like to get all of our families together and go hang out at Golly G's and eat cinnamon rolls and ice cream. And so we love the Burnett family. And I love that your pastor loves God's word. I think that you should wake up every day and thank God that you're a part of such an amazing church. Can I just tell you that? Like, what you're a part of, it's easy when you come every Sunday to just get used to this. Look around. You should not get used to this. Thank God every day that you get to be a part of a church like this that's thriving and growing. I know you guys are continually you build a building and then you add more services. Man, I pray we live in a day where we can't build a big enough building to fit all of the people who want to hear about Jesus. Amen? So we're glad to do ministry with you here in Clarksville, and I love Pastor Mike's commitment to teaching God's word. There are very few pastors who will brave a verse-by-verse study through the book of Romans, like I believe you guys are right now in the middle of, and I know he's taking you through half a year in 1 Corinthians and a year and a half in the book of John, and that tells me that he values God's word. I know that about him, and I hope that you're learning to value God's word as well. I'm here to open up God's word with you today. If you brought a Bible, you can turn to John chapter 5. We'll be there here in just a few moments, but I just want to say, like, As you're turning there, or if you didn't bring an actual paper Bible, If you brought a smartphone, you brought a Bible and you didn't even know it, you can go to Bible.com and follow along. Or if you have a Bible app on your phone, John chapter 5. But I can say this on behalf of your pastor that when we get up here to preach God's word or wherever we're opening God's word and sharing it with the crowd, the goal is not for you to hear us. I say this often to our church, but my words have never changed somebody's life. It's God's word that changes lives. You with me on that? Am I going to have to cue you every time to say something? Okay, so like we could talk back here, right? This doesn't have to be a monologue, all right? We're in this together, so let's have some fun. So when we open up God's word, I know that Pastor Mike's heart and mine is as well, that you're not here to hear from us, you're here to hear from the word of God. And it's God's word that changes our lives. And so I hope that you're able to hear it in a new way, maybe with a fresh perspective. Sometimes it takes hearing it from a different voice sometimes that God will speak to you in a different way. My mom, she's a nurse. And so we grew up with stethoscopes around the house. And so I remember growing up, one of the first times I found the stethoscope on I don't know, somewhere around our house, I didn't exactly know the purpose of it, but once I figured it out, I started realizing you can hear stuff really cool through this. And so I remember my sister and I would play around with the stethoscope. Before we had any idea what it was for, we would hold it up to like the TV speaker. Which is a really bad way to listen to TV, you know? Or I would try to listen to her thoughts. It never worked real well. Sometimes we would talk to each other through it. It's a really bad way to communicate, you know? Like, we could just take it out and talk a lot better. But we had a lot of fun with it until one day my mom blew our little minds when she helped us understand what the purpose of the stethoscope was. And I remember she put these in our ears, and then she held the stethoscope up to our heart, and we could hear the ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. I can suddenly hear, I have this tool, and I'm hearing something that I can't normally hear. I can hear this in a whole new way, and suddenly I'm listening to the pulse on the inside of my body. It was an amazing thing. So here's what I want us to talk about today. What if I want us to think about the tool, the weapon that we have in our hands, the Word of God. And I want to just ask a question here today. What if you have a powerful tool in your hand that, like this stethoscope, you're missing the whole point of why you have the tool? What if you have something that can help you hear and see things in an all-new perspective, but we're entirely missing the point? See, God's word is easily overlooked in our lives. It's something that sometimes we get in the habit of just turning to every once in a while when things go bad in life or maybe on a Sunday morning. Let me ask you this. How many of you ate a meal today already? You already? Okay. This is the 9:30 crowd, so you're already dreaming of lunch, I imagine. How many of you are planning to eat a meal at any point on Monday? Any Monday eaters? Okay. Apparently, there's some really holy people in the crowd who are going to fast and pray for all of us. Thank you so much for that. You're so holy. How about Tuesday eaters? Any Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday eaters? How about Friday or Saturday? People are going to eat a meal on a Saturday. Fantastic. Great. Okay, so here's what that tells me. You've learned that eating on a Sunday is not enough for the week. Are you picking up what I'm laying down? Listen, we have in front of us a feast that should not just be a snack on a Sunday morning, but a feast on a Monday morning. And God help us if we're not on the Bible on a Tuesday morning, and I need the word on a Wednesday morning. Anybody with me on that? This thing we have in front of us that is so powerful, such a tool, what a weapon. But what if, here's a question, what if we have this tool in front of us, we're learning the Bible on a Sunday, but we're missing the whole point? What if we're reading the stories, but missing the story? What if we're flipping the pages and not hearing the pulse of God's word? I want to share a message today. If you want to write down this title, here's the title of the message. These pages have a pulse. These pages have a pulse. I want you to see today that God's word is about so much more than we often think that it is. See, the Bible says that God's word is alive. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's living and active. Why? Because it's written by the God who's alive, who wants to bring us to life. And I hope today to share just a few words with you that will help you go from just flipping the pages to feeling the pulse of God's word. John chapter 5, we're going to focus in on just two verses this morning. Chapter 5, verse 39. I'll set some context here in just a moment, but let's read John 5, verse 39 and 40. This is Jesus speaking. He's talking to the Jewish leaders, and he tells them this: you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. God, help us when we open up your word to hear from you, to see you, Jesus. Ultimately, our greatest need is that our hearts are in tune and aligned with yours. And so, Lord, I pray over this place today that your word would go out in power and that it would change lives beyond anything any human can do. God, at the end of this message, I pray that there would be people across this room that would say, wow, God spoke to me. I heard him today. Lord, it's not about my words. We're opening up your word because that's what this is all about. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to give you three thoughts today to write down. I don't know if you know this about your sermon notes, but if you show them when you get into heaven, you get extra bonus points. So you should make sure and write them down, save them, okay? Three thoughts I want to give you today. Number one, we got to start with a warning. Number one, warning. You can read the Bible and miss the whole point. You can have it right in front of you and not even see it. Have you ever been looking for your sunglasses while they're on your head? Right? So, okay, good. I'm not the only one. Have you ever, like, been searching for your car keys while you're holding them? You're like, you're pointing with them. I looked over there. I looked in this region. Oh, I can't find my car keys, right? They're jingling, and you just don't even think about it. So there have been times where I've found myself moving the thing I'm looking for while I'm looking for the thing, right? In the refrigerator. I'm like holding a jug of milk. Where's the milk around here? Are we out of milk again? I'm like holding a jug of milk, you know? You can have it right in front of you and miss the whole thing. Jesus is telling these guys, listen, you've been reading the Bible and it's pointing to me and I'm standing right here and you're missing the whole point. Here's the warning for us. You can read it. You can study it. You can, like these men, memorize it and miss the entire purpose behind it. So this is, I feel like it's important that we start with this warning, because I'm just thinking if the Jewish leaders who had large portions of this committed to memory, if they could memorize it and miss it, then certainly we can too. If they could make their living by searching the scriptures but miss the entire point, certainly we could fall into the same trap. We can have it right in front of us and miss the whole thing. And so that's my fear, that we would fall into something like this, because searching the scriptures is a good thing, but it's not the only thing. See, searching the scriptures is not enough in and of itself. If that was enough by itself to get into heaven, all you would need to do is make sure you read the Bible all the way through. But that's not enough, right? There are lots of people who have read the Bible who completely missed the whole point. I talked to a lady recently at our church who said, I'm reading the Bible. She told me, I'm reading the Bible now for my second time through. She's just a few books in. She said, the first time I read it was years ago, and I was in this, like, cynical season in my life. And she said, she read the Bible, Genesis through Revelation, which is a lot more than a lot of Christians do, But she got through it in that season, but she left with so many problems with the Bible. I don't like that it says this. I don't like that God's word's opinion on this thing. I don't think I believe this thing. And she read it all the way through. Here's what I'm trying to say. Searching the scriptures is a good place to start, but we have to allow the scriptures to lead us to where it's pointing, and most importantly, to who it's pointing. Otherwise, we miss the whole point. Just like these Jewish leaders were doing as they stood in front of Jesus. So we love the Bible. I know I can speak on behalf of your pastor that he loves the Bible, that this church loves the Bible, but we don't worship the Bible. We worship the God who gave us the Bible, who the Bible is actually about. But if we're not careful, we're just reading the black and white words, the red letters on the pages of our Bibles, and we could miss the whole point. Reading the Bible is about so much more than reading the Bible. Now, part of the way, I think the main way that we miss the point is by mistaking who the main character in the story actually is. Here's a second thought. Would you write this one down? Number two, God's word isn't about you, it's about God. And some of you guys are like, I'm not even going to write that down. I already knew that. That guy came from another church, said, wow, pastor, real mind-blowing truth you're dropping on us here. God's word, it says it right there in the title. It's God's word. Of course, it's not about me. It's about God. We say that, and we say we know it, but I'm guilty of this too, of approaching it like it is actually about me. And when we mistake who the main character of the story is, we'll miss the whole point. This is what the Jewish leaders were doing. They mistook who the main character was, and they missed the entire point of the story. And we have to be careful that we don't fall into this same trap. And I think part of the way that we fall into this is we have these devotional books, and I'm not downplaying devotional books. They can be a very useful tool. I think we can and should read them. But we have devotional books sometimes that have a short description and a personal application that if we're not careful and if we're only using those and not looking at God's word for the reason it was written, if we're not careful, they can train our minds to read God's word for what's in it for me. Where am I in the story, right? And we could just settle into skipping over a bunch of portions of the scripture that we don't really like, and just, can we just get to the part that's about me? Like, where am I in the story? What about my marriage? What about my family? What about my kids? What about my plans? What about my finances? Okay, I read that, but like, what does that have to do with me? You see the problem here? And so Jesus says in John 5, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, but it's they that bear witness about me. Now listen, the Jewish leaders they've been reading the scripture, but they've been missing the whole point, and you can tell that from the context of John chapter 5. If you rewind to John chapter 5, the very beginning of it, the scene is amazing because Jesus has just healed a man who is an invalid for 38 years. This man's life was paralyzed. Jesus spoke and the man was healed. And the Jewish leaders witnessed it and they go, no, we have a problem with that. They rebuke Jesus for healing, but not just for healing, because Jesus healed on the wrong day of the week. Here's what they're doing. Here's the irony. They are rebuking the Lord of the Sabbath for healing somebody on the Sabbath. You catch the irony here? The God who created the Sabbath and created the man who he just healed has every right to heal on the Sabbath. But here are the Jewish leaders. No, you can't. That's too much work. Can't do that on the Sabbath. Didn't you read the Ten Commandments? Jesus is like, I think I remember those, actually. So they're reading the scriptures. They've been searching the scriptures, but they've missed the whole point, and I think a lot of it has to do with their thinking they are the main characters. And they're trying to just do their thing and live up to these rules and think and live the way that would impress God. And they've begun to miss the whole point. So God's word, we have to understand, is about God, not us. This is why in Luke chapter 24, when Jesus was walking with two men after Jesus had been crucified, resurrected, and was about to ascend into heaven, he's walking with two men down a road, and it says Jesus is, that they don't know that it's Jesus yet, and Jesus begins telling them about the Christ, speaking of himself, from, it says, Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. Basically, Luke 24 says, all of the Old Testament was pointing to Jesus. This is why Acts chapter 8, when the Holy Spirit tells Philip to go out onto a deserted road and share the gospel with this Ethiopian eunuch who's out there all by himself, and when Philip catches up to the guy, he's reading, it turns out, Isaiah 53, which we know thousands of years later, Isaiah 53 is about Jesus, the suffering servant. But the man says, how can I know what this is unless somebody explains it to me? And so it says in Acts 8 that beginning at that scripture, Philip preached Jesus to the man. But how can you preach Jesus from a book that was written 700 years before Jesus walked on the planet? Because Jesus has always been the main star of the story. This is how Acts chapter 18, Paul is preaching, and it says he uses the Old Testament scriptures to prove who the Christ was. How can he do that? Because Jesus has always been the star of the story. And so when we mistake it and we think that it's about us, and it's we overlook that it's about God, we start to get misled. Now, I grew up in church. Maybe some of you grew up in church culture, and I remember my Sunday school days. My Sunday school teacher would tell me this cute little acronym for the Bible, B-I-B-L-E, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Okay? Some of you guys are like, wow, that's amazing. Okay? Don't get too carried away. I have a little bit of a problem with that. Okay? Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Now, it's cute. It's somewhat accurate. It's memorable. But I'm afraid it can be slightly misleading. And here's why I say this. Because if I begin to approach God's word like an instruction manual for my life, we're going to have a few problems. Number one, who reads instruction manuals to begin with, right? Men in the room, can you relate with that? They're like, we open up a box and we're like, why'd they include a book in here? I don't need that. I got my drill, right? I can fix stuff. I don't need instructions. Who even reads instruction manuals anyway? But here's the second problem I have with that. If this is a book of instructions for my life, then most, let's be honest, I'm about to offend some church people here, most of the Bible I don't need because it's not about me. If it's about me, come on, let's just like, what do we need? If this is basic instructions for my life, then all I really need is like Genesis 1 and 2 so I kind of get an idea of where things came from. Revelation 21 and 22, so I kind of know where we're going. And then just like my favorite stuff in the middle. I need Romans 8, probably a Psalm 23, include John 3:16 in there. What are some of your other like Bible verses on your coffee mugs or a plaque in your house? Make sure those are included in there. But like when I get to a list of names, why do I need that? If this book's about me, why do I need a list of names? It sounds like I'm reading a Jewish phone book, right? Like, what's that about? Why, when I get to Joshua, do I have to even care about how the land got divided up? Who cares if this is about me? If this is about me, I'm going to skip the second half of the book of Exodus when it's like, hey, build the tabernacle this big and this wide, and I have all these different colors. And I'm like, if this is about me, who cares? If this is about me, forget the whole book of Leviticus. Come on, right? We can skip over that. If this is about me, I don't want to read about the gory sacrifices and all the blood being splattered. And see, when we skip over that stuff, it's probably because we've lost sight of who this book is really about. We've missed the fact that it was never meant. Leviticus wasn't included in here so you could learn about you. Leviticus was included in the Bible so you could learn about God, whose holiness is offended by our sin. We got to understand that these names of people, these lists of people are included in the Bible because God cares about people. Because there's historical accuracy behind the list of people and names and the genealogy and the way the land. This isn't just made up stories to make you like a motivational speaker in your life. That's not the way that this is. This book is about God. It's telling us the story of Jesus. It always has been. But see, we prefer it packaged really nicely, don't we? Chapter a day keeps the devil away, right? We prefer it real nice and neat. Problem with that is that you just can't really package this book real nice and neat. I think we've done really good for what it is, but let's be honest, there are portions of this book that are rated R. War, rape, divine judgment, blood splattering. I mean, just there's some crazy stuff that takes place in this book. A few years ago when the Bible Story came out on the TV series, you may remember that. My wife and I had the great idea, like, hey, this will be great. We'll sit our kids down. We'll watch this story every Sunday. This will be great. This will be great. Pop the popcorn, get the kids. Like, 15 minutes in, I'm like, we can't be watching this with our children. We're, like, shielding their eyes. Don't look. Don't look. There's too much blood, right? Let's go skateboard. Like, we can't watch this anymore. The reality is, like, the Bible is a real and raw look of the story of God. It's always been about God. It's not been about us. But see, what we prefer to do is take the stories of the Bible and make them about us. And honestly, water them down a little bit. Because they're a little too heavy sometimes. This is why, and this is no diss on you if you've done this, but this is why we paint our nurseries sometimes, our kids' rooms, with the story of Noah's Ark. Can we just own the story of Noah's Ark on your baby's wall is a little bit removed from the actual story of Noah's Ark from the Bible? Let's talk about what needs to be on your wall if you're actually being biblical with the story of Noah. There needs to be, like, people drowning, screams of terror. Like, you open the door and screams of terror. Lightning and thunder, your kid should be floating when he goes to bed, right? Like, that's a much more accurate story of Noah, isn't it? It's divine judgment. Listen, we like to think it's all about the rainbow. It's divine judgment. Here's what the flood tells us. God created us and has authority and rule over our lives, and he can hold us to a standard and tell us we're doing the wrong thing. Do you know why science says the flood didn't happen? Because they don't want to be held accountable. That's why. How about this? David and Goliath. We love, oh, what a cute underdog story, right? Here comes David. Oh, we love David. Shepherd, right? Did you know it says that his dad told him to take bread and cheese to deliver to his brothers? Bread and cheese. Isn't that pizza? He's a pizza delivery man. I'm sorry. That's how I think. He's a pizza delivery boy, and he goes to the front lines and eventually gets his sling. And the story ends with a giant dead on the ground with a hole in his head. And then he doesn't have his head much longer because David walks up with his foot on it, chops his head off with Goliath's sword. That's gory and terrible. And yet, this is all part of the small pieces of the story of God and his people. It's never been about us. And so when we look at it just for the packaging and try to fit it all nice and neat, we may miss out entirely on who this thing is really all about. And so I hope, even though this might seem like a real foundational truth, I hope tomorrow when you open up the Bible, first of all, I hope you're going to open up your Bible tomorrow. And I hope when you open up your Bible, you can go into it like, God, I'm not here to learn about me. I'm here to learn about you. And listen, when you learn about God, you're going to learn a lot about yourself. But let's not get the main character switched up. You're not the star of the story. I'm not the star of the story. It's always been about God. It's God's word. Amen? Anybody with me? Okay. Three people. Good, good. So I got That's two things. Third thought, third and final thought, write this down. Number three, don't just read about Jesus, walk with Jesus. Jesus says this, he tells the Jewish leaders, verse 39, you search the scriptures, you think that in them is found eternal life. It's they that bear witness about me. Here it is, verse 40. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. I'm standing right here. Jesus goes, the whole thing's been about me. You don't find eternal life because you read the right stories. You memorized the right portions. Eternal life is found by the one who is standing in front of you. Jesus says, I'm right here, but you're refusing to come to me. Now, if we're being honest, we're a lot more like the Jewish leaders than we wish we were. I mean, I guess we can give them the credit that at least they're searching the scriptures. That's a lot more than some Christians do, right? They were faithfully searching and learning as much as they could about God's word, committing it to memory. But here's what Jesus is saying. It's never been about reading the Bible. It's never been about checking off your YouVersion Bible app reading plan. It's nice, but it's not about that. It's not about reading the Bible. It's about having a relationship with the one who the Bible is about. God's word was written to get us walking. Jesus says, I'm right here, but you refuse to come to me. I love how invitational our God is. You know, all throughout scripture, he's inviting us in. Come to me. Come to me. The Spirit and the Lamb say, come. Read the book of Revelation. Read the Gospels. Jesus saying, come. Come. He's inviting us in. Jesus right here is saying, I'm standing right in front of you. It's all been pointing to you, but you refuse to come to me. It's about walking with Jesus. And I would say this, if reading the Bible doesn't get you walking, you're reading it all wrong. You've missed the point. It should change who you are because you're learning who God is. Now, here's the challenge. You can't hear the pulse of the Bible. But I believe if you pay attention, you can see it. In fact, if you'll do this, if you brought an actual paper Bible, would you do this? Just humor me on this. Flip to the table of contents in your Bible. And could I just walk you through? I want you to see that every single book of the Bible points to Jesus. Anybody with me? You ready? Okay, here we go. Whether you're ready or not, here we go. I want you to see that every book of the Bible has always been pointing to Jesus. Watch this. Genesis, Jesus is the seed of the woman and the creator and the promised redeemer. Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. Leviticus, he's the high priest and the lamb on the altar. Numbers, he's the cloud and the fire, the water and the bread in the desert. Deuteronomy, he's the prophet like Moses. Joshua, he's the commander of the Lord's army and the captain of our salvation. Judges, he's the judge and the lawgiver. Ruth, he's the kinsman redeemer. 1 Samuel, he's the prophet, the priest, and the king. 2 Samuel, he's the king of grace and love. 1 Kings, he's a ruler greater than Solomon. 2 Kings, he's the powerful prophet. 1 Chronicles, he's the son of David coming to rule. 2 Chronicles, he's the king who reigns eternally. Ezra, he's the priest proclaiming freedom. Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of what has been broken. Esther, he's the protector of his people. Job, he's the living redeemer. Come on, somebody. The mediator between God and man. Psalms, he's the Lord our shepherd, the song in morning and night. Proverbs, he's the wisdom of God. Ecclesiastes, he's the meaning of life. Song of Solomon, he's the lover and the bridegroom, the author of love. Isaiah, he is the suffering servant. Jeremiah, the righteous one wrong. Lamentations, the weeping prophet. Ezekiel, he's the breath that gives life to the dry bones and the son of man. Daniel, he's the fourth man in the fire. He's the son of man coming in the clouds. Hosea, he's the faithful husband even when we're unfaithful. Joel, he's the one sending the Spirit to baptize his people with fire. Amos, he's the burden bearer and the restorer of justice. Obadiah, he's the judge of evildoers and mighty to save. Jonah, he is the forgiving God, the greatest missionary. Micah, he's the messenger who brings good news. Nahum, he's the avenger of the elect and stronghold in trouble. Habakkuk, he's the great evangelist crying for revival. Zephaniah, he's the restorer of the remnant, the warrior who saves. Haggai, he's the cleansing fountain and the signet ring. Zechariah, he's the humble king riding on a colt and the pierced son. Malachi, he's the son of righteousness bringing healing in his wings. Matthew, he's the Messiah who is king. Mark, he's the Messiah who's a servant. Luke, he's the Messiah who's the deliverer. John, he's the bread of life, the Messiah who is God in flesh. Acts, he is the ascended Lord, the Spirit who dwells in his people. Romans, he is the justifier, the righteousness of God. 1 Corinthians, he's the second Adam, the resurrection. 2 Corinthians, he's our down payment and the God of all comfort. He Galatians, he's our liberty, the one who sets us free. Ephesians, he's the head and the unity of the church. Philippians, he's the joy of our lives. Colossians, he's the fullness of the Godhead, supreme over all. 1 Thessalonians, he's our comfort in the last days. 2 Thessalonians, he's our returning king. 1 Timothy, he's the mediator between God and man, the savior of the worst of all sinners. 2 Timothy, he's the leader of the leaders. He's the pastor of pastors. Titus, he's the blessed hope, the foundation of truth. Philemon, he's the friend, closer than a brother, our mediator. Hebrews, he is the blood that washes away our sin. He's our great high priest. James, he's the great physician. He's the power behind our faith. 1 Peter, he's the chief shepherd, our hope in suffering. 2 Peter, he's the one who guards us from false teaching. 1 John, the source of life. 2 John, God in the flesh. 3 John, source of truth. Jude, he's the foundation of our faith, the Savior who protects us from stumbling. Come on, somebody. Revelation, he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, and he is himself the light of heaven. Listen, when you cut the Bible, it bleeds Jesus. And when you cut Jesus, he bleeds love for you and you and you and you and me. For every one of us, Jesus bled because he loved us. This has never been about you. It's always been about Jesus. And I pray that the Word of God, you learn to look at it as it points you to the Word of God, Jesus Christ. It's not just pointing the way in life, it's pointing to the way, who is Jesus. Listen, the most important thing you need to hear today is that apart from this Jesus, who is the star of the story, there is no other hope for heaven. It's not about if you've read your Bible enough, if you've attended church long enough, if you gave enough. Those are all good things, but that's going to come later. The most important thing is, what are you going to do with Jesus? Where's your heart with Jesus? I don't know what brought you in here today. I'm not sure your story, but listen, I happen to serve the God who knows your story and knows right where you are, and he knows your failures. And I don't know if you walked in these doors or you clicked on a link today and you're watching online and you're thinking you've gone too far, you've sinned too much. What's the point of me even being here? Listen, we're good at sinning, but let's not give ourselves too much credit. You'll never be as good at sinning as our God is at forgiving. You can't out-sin his grace. You can't run too far. God doesn't care. He's not held back by how you failed last week and what you're addicted to right now and what you did last night or what you'll do tomorrow. God's not held back by that. He loves you. He has a plan for you. And our job is to just say, God, I can't do it, but I know that you can. Let the Word of God point you to the Word of God, Jesus Christ. As we close with this final song, come on, let's stand to our feet and sing. As we close with this final song, we're going to have our prayer team up here in the front. The most important thing that you would do today is to understand that Jesus is saying what he told these Jewish leaders. I'm right here. Don't refuse to come to him. If God is speaking to you today, you have to turn from your sin and turn to Jesus. This is the most important thing that you can do. So as we close with this final song, I want to encourage you to step out of your chair, to come forward and pray. If you need some direction in life, if you recognize your need for a Savior in the middle of your sin, listen, whatever season you're in, no matter how broken you feel, Jesus is the Savior who will take you as you are. No other religion is like Christianity. Every other religion says, I hope you're good enough to get to heaven. Christianity says, God came to us. He'll meet you right where you are. So as we close with this song, let's worship. Let's thank God for who he is, how faithful he is. And if you need some prayer, or most importantly, you need to put your faith in Jesus Christ, would you come forward and join the prayer team up here? And we want to pray with you and point you toward Jesus. Come on, let's sing.